Today on Real Radio.
What is your hope today? Is it in your religiosity? Is it in your membership of a church? Or is it in the absolute awesome blood of Jesus Christ, who God gave because he loves you and invites you to know him as your God? That's what he wants you to experience, which leads to life. So I can know him as my God. He's the God of my life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. In the first 7 verses of chapter 15, we read of the Messiah's parable of the lost sheep. Remember that this analogy was directed toward those who were increasingly rejecting his messianic claims and status. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When Jesus reaches the mind, and he's reaching the mind of these people that are listening, is anyone listening? He says, is anyone hearing? Let him have ears to hear. Let him hear from the crowd. Someone, can you imagine if you were there? And I don't think you need to imagine too far, because many of us have experienced this, that from the crowd comes a message, and down deep inside, you can say, Jesus, I'm hearing you. I can hear that. There's a stirring of your heart. These tax collectors and sinners are stirred to the heart. How do we know? Because look, they lean in. The word is that as he spoke, look, they drew near to him. They leaned into what he was saying. The word can also be translated, they pressed into Christ. They pressed into Jesus. I love that. Think about it. It's getting close, drawing near. That's exactly what he had been talking about in chapter 14. To be a disciple is to lean, press into, to get near with the intent to follow him. This is wonderful. But who's doing it? Oh, that's the problem. These rotten, stinking sinners. Look at them. They work for Rome. They're turncoats. They would never be allowed into our synagogue, these Jewish leaders would say. Don't even get near them. But what does Jesus do? Oh my, it gets even more intense. They understand that he's reaching the souls and the minds of these people. And so thus they press into him. Look at also this regarding hope. Not only he reaches out to the soul, he reaches out to us in hope. There it says in verses 1 and 2, that he receives them as sinners and he eats with them. You guys, in the Middle Eastern culture, whenever you eat with somebody, and by the way, you just don't eat with somebody. It's a big deal in the, you know, you and I will eat with anybody. You got food? I'll sit, let's eat, you know? Not in that culture. You don't eat with anybody. If you invite somebody to eat in that culture, you are pulling from the same bread, you're pulling from the same meat, and hallelujah, you're dipping in the same hummus. There's nothing better than hummus. Anyway. And when you partake of that together, in their mind, what is now in me is now in you, and we're one. When they said, look at him, he eats with sinners. You guys, this is both glorious and horrific news. It's glorious if you're a sinner. It's horrific if you're self-righteous. If you are a legalistic, self-righteous person, you can't stand this. Because we've got our little club. Don't let them in. They've got to earn the right. They've got to do these things to be part of our group. That's not true with Jesus. And so as he reaches out to them, he's touched their hearts or their minds, their thinking. They lean in and they find out that there's hope for them. Because even the accusers say, look at Jesus. He receives these sinners. And I love that about our God. He is so warm and kind and tender about that. In Mark 12:37, the Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. Isn't that great? Now look, common people hear him gladly. So what's uncommon? uncommon would be someone who's full of themselves. Someone who's uncommon, because it doesn't make any sense. Think about it. It's uncommon. It's not right. What is it? Though it's prevalent, what is it? It's that you're full of yourself. You got yourself so much of you can't hear. All you can hear is you. You're a legend in your own mind. It's you, yourself, and I. It's all we do. We just think about me. That's being uncommon. What is common is that you realize I need God in my life. Amen. And the common people who could think, heard him gladly because the news that he gave was good. And that news was that we can know him as our God. And that is a wonderful thing. Remember this in John 8:11, you know the story well. We've covered it extensively before. That woman was caught in the very act of adultery by the scribes and Pharisees. They grabbed her and brought her to the feet of Jesus and threw her down. And Jesus, shortening the story, they all wound up leaving because they were convicted. Jesus says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "Well, Lord, it looks like I have none." And Jesus says this, John 8:11, "Neither do I condemn you." By the way, in the wording, it is, "I have every right in the world to condemn you. You were caught in a sin. I'm God in flesh. I've got, and I alone have got the authority to throw you into hell. And I'm not going to do that. You go, girl, out of here and sin no more." Mercy, grace. He knows that about you and I. It's amazing. And a person who's self-righteous can't stand that. These scribes, these leaders, these Pharisees couldn't stand it. Look at this. Some are hearing hope, but not all. It says in verse 2 that the Pharisees and the scribes, look at it with me, complained. Can you circle the word complained? It's amazing. They're complaining about him receiving sinners and eating with them. The word complain is an amazing word. It means this. It means that they were whining. We would use the word to whine. The word also means that they were whining publicly. It's not that they were whining to themselves or by themselves. They were whining out loud. I guess, you know, that's kind of the only whining that we can really understand. But when these guys began to whine, in their whining, they're like this. "Can you believe it? He receives sinners. I mean, how wrong is that? I mean, look at him. I mean, look at us, and then look at him. I mean, we're the religious guys. He's a carpenter guy walking around thinking and acting like he knows what he's doing." And they began to whine publicly. The word means that they began to affect others. By the way, that's what gossipers do and whiners do. When one person, remember Israel coming out of Egypt? Do you remember what their complaint was? "We're tired of this manna. We want meat. We want meat. We want meat like we had in Egypt. Give us some meat." And they're whining about everything. You realize that whine had to start with one person first. It always starts with one person. That's why, let me tell you something. When somebody starts griping, you got to stop that quick. You got kids, you know what I'm talking about. Man, but when you take a group of people somewhere, somebody starts whining, you got to just say to the whiner, "Excuse me, come over here. Let me talk to you about something. You whine one more time, we're going to throw you on an airplane and send you back home. God bless you. Have a nice day. Now get back in the group." You know what I'm saying? Why? Because it can ruin things. These guys are whining, trying to ruin the whole thing, trying to take away hope. What is your hope today? Is it in your religiosity? Is it in your membership of a church? Or is it in the absolute awesome blood of Jesus Christ, who God gave because he loves you and invites you to know him as your God? That's what he wants you to experience, which leads to life. So I can know him as my God. He's the God of my life. When the Pharisees began to complain, they were, in a sense, robbing hopeful life from these listeners. That's a tragic thing. Shouldn't be going on. And so as Jesus receives them, I want you to mark this word down. And listen to this. This is a heavy, heavy word, not because it's unique to the Greek language or to the Bible, but because of our culture. It kind of freaks us out. Are you ready for this? It says, "This man," this is their accusation, "this man," Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them." The word in Greek means this. "This man, intercourse with these people." "This man," the word in the Greek means intercourse, "to open wide and to accommodate fully sinners." Can you believe that? No, I don't know about you, but that's exactly what I want to hear. That my Jesus, the God of the Bible, why are you a Christian? You know what, you guys, you want to be amazing apologetic experts right now about as to why you're a Christian? How about marking right now Luke 15 verses 1 and 2? If somebody says, why are you a Christian? Because my friend right here, Jesus Christ opens up and accommodates sinners. End of story. Because ain't no other story in the world got that story. Jesus says, come here, come on. He opens wide to receive the sinner. I like that. That gives me absolute assurance, gives me hope. I'll thank God for that. Man, if we were at a Pentecostal church, we would have jumped to our feet a moment ago with that one. I got to warn you, because I just spoke at a Pentecostal church this week, so it's like, wow. I don't know if they were listening, but they acted like they were listening. He receives us, and that's a wonderful thing. Point number two is this. God purchased sinners, verses 3-6. It is this, so he can know me as his child. You say, now, wait a minute. What do you mean, doesn't he know me already? Well, I want you to look at that carefully. Point number two today is he can know me as his child. You say, doesn't God know me anyway? God knows you. God knows all of us. But let's be honest here. It's very, very important. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus says it himself. We are, not all of us are God's kids. We become God's children by being born again. You can't get into the family unless you're born a second time, Jesus said. John chapter 3. You with me? It's very important. Be very careful when someone tells you on ABC, Channel 7, Los Angeles, in the afternoon, with a magazine with a big O on it, last name starts with a W, says, it doesn't matter how we come to God, we're all God's children. That sounds so cool. I mean, I have to be honest with you, that sounds really cool. It's exactly what I want to hear in my emotions. But it's not true. You see, but Jack, she's so nice. I'm not knocking how nice she is. And she's so rich. I'm not knocking how rich she is. But she's so successful. I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking it. But my friend Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me. There's no other way. And you say that, how narrow. It's so narrow. In Vancouver, I went from one island to another island on a bridge, and it was narrow. And if I would have got the thought, I want to go over there somewhere. I want to go 150 feet off the bridge and see if you're not going to get to the island where there's no bridge. Jesus is the bridge. Now listen, this is very, very important because he wants to know me, and I'm to know him in that father relationship. But listen, he came, Jesus did, died on the cross so that I can know him and that he can know me as his child. First thing is this, this one, our Lord did this. He came and he died for us. And that is the fact that he has come after us. Remember, it is God who left heaven to come to earth. He's the one who comes after me, who comes after us. And I love it. Look at verses 3-4. So he spoke this parable. Parables are awesome. Parabolos. Para means to be near you or alongside you. Para, shoot. You have a chute. It's no good unless it's para. Your friend can have a parachute. That's his parachute. You need a parachute. Is a chute that is near you. Parabolos, or a parable, is teaching that drops right alongside your head. Jesus goes like this, okay? And he puts the bait right alongside their head. And Jesus is like this waiting. And listen, the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life, right? So Jesus, imagine, think about this. There's the bait. I just cast the truth right alongside that Pharisee's head. Let's see if he takes it. Please take it. Please take it. Come on, come on. Take it. Why? He wants to hook the guy. He wants to hook him with truth. And if the guy starts to think, I like this, like just like those tax collectors and sinners, this is good. I'll take it. Jesus sets the hook and reels him in. And he becomes one of the kids in the family. He sends out a parable to open up their eyes, and here it is. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he has lost until he finds it? Pretty clear story, pretty simple. You get it. I get it. They got it better back then than we get it now because they had sheep all over the place. I remember when we moved to Chino Hills, we moved from Costa Mesa to Chino Hills. I thought we moved from Costa Mesa to Wyoming. And back in those days, they would shut down Grand Avenue, and there would be thousands of sheep going right down the middle of the street with shepherds moving them from the hills to, I don't know, slaughterhouse or somewhere. I don't know where they were going. I don't know. Cover your kids' ears. I don't know where they were going. But it was amazing. If those of you have been around a long time, they would do that. And it's kind of cool, kind of amazing. You hear the shepherd making all kinds of noises, funny noises. Whoop, whoop. Hip, whoop. And you're like, what a weirdo. And yet the sheep were listening to all those funny sounds because the sheep knew every little weird sound of the shepherd. They knew. It was really impressive to see. Jesus says, if one gets lost as a shepherd, don't you know that they're going to go get that one? Dr. Ironside, great, wonderful man. He's now with Jesus. Dr. H.A. Ironside said that when he was coming from Chicago to Glendale, California, to be a pastor there at the Church of the Open Door, he stopped at some friends that he had conversed with via mail in the Midwest, and they had sheep. He said they had tens of thousands of sheep, massive sheep operation going on. And he was waiting for his friend to come home. And Ironside's waiting at the house. And it began to get dark. And the man pulled up and said, listen, we can't eat dinner right now. I've got to get back out there. And Harry Ironside said, why? And he said, because as I was coming in the night, in the dark, I could hear the bleating of a little lamb lost out there somewhere. And I got to go. So Ironside said, thinking, I'm a pastor. I know the Bible. I got to see this. He goes, can I go with you? And he said, come on, let's go. And he went out there and he's calling with that funny little sound, calling, calling, and calling in the night. And he said, from a distance, you could hear this, meh, meh. And he said, he made their way there and the lamb had fallen off a ravine down into this area of great danger. And the man told Ironside, you stay right here. And he went down in the darkness and he could hear that lamb crying and crying and crying and crying and then no cry. And he waited, Ironside waited and waited and waited, he said, until up over the edge of the cliff was the shepherd with the sheep around his shoulder. And Ironside, listen to this, Ironside said, okay, this is impressive. I'm going to use this in a sermon someday, and some guy someday in Chino Hills is going to use it on a Sunday morning also. And he said, why in the world would you leave? You have thousands and thousands of sheep. Why would you leave this one? He said, well, number one, the coyotes would have gotten in the night. And he said, if it would have survived the night, then the rattlesnakes would have gotten it in the morning. And he said, but the main reason why, he said, oh, I've been a shepherd a long time. And when you lose a sheep, you cannot sleep until you get the sheep back. You can't sleep until you get the lamb back. And he said, I had to go get that lamb. And I want you to think about that. Isn't it amazing that the Bible, your Bible in your lap, talks about how you and I are the sheep of his pasture? And that he's our shepherd. Amen. He didn't use anything else. He didn't say, you know what? I'm the cowboy and you're the pony. Why? Because the horse will take off and go do its own thing. They'll go create their own herd and run around America, right? A lamb cannot exist without human protection. Did you know that? Sheep are one of the greatest arguments against evolution. They can't exist without a human. They need constant care. They'll get into trouble. They'll wander off. It's exactly what the Bible calls us, little wanderers. We're just little sheep, but he comes and gets us. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36 that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Isn't that awesome? Who are you today? Jesus looks at you. By the way, graphically, the Bible written in one of the most graphic languages in the world, Greek and Hebrew, incredible. In the Greek, when it says that Jesus saw the people on the hillsides as sheep having no shepherd, it says that he was moved with compassion. Have you ever seen something that so affects you, you can't even really sleep or eat right? You got to do something about it. It's unfortunately, we allow it to be too rare in our lives. If we open our eyes, we will see the need of this world and those in it. Jesus looked, and the word means his bowels began to churn. Have you ever experienced something to where your bowels can't receive food? You can't do nothing until this is fixed. Maybe you look at someone who's handicapped or blind or whatever it is, and you, for a moment, there's this thing inside of you, down in your gut, and you would give them your eyes if you could for a moment. You're moved like that. Jesus looks upon people and he's moved. You will find no Savior in the world that will have compassion like you, like Jesus does. He's the shepherd of your soul, and he wants you to come to him. And not only does he want us to come, and of course he comes to us, but the beautiful thing about this is he will not stop. Some years ago in one of our Israel tours, some of you were there with us. We were in En Gedi at the Valley of the Goats, where King Saul had taken refuge in a cave, and David was hiding in that cave. And on those mountain cliffs are ibex, beautiful little things. Well, the babies are little things. The big ones are big things. And it was springtime, and the little ibex were running around, and we could hear this, "Ah! Ah!" And Ashley, my daughter, saw this, and, Dad, it's lost. It's got nobody. And I mean, you guys, this thing was this big. It was this big. Little tiny thing, brand new. Our tour guide said it's probably at the most 2 days old. Just crying. And so I said, send the group ahead. We got to go get this little thing. And Amir, being the compassionate guy that he is, said, don't worry about it. The lions will get it soon. Let's go. No, we're staying. Ashley's like, Dad, we can't go. We got to help this thing. We ran around that hillside. We were doing everything. Got so close to it at one point in time. And we thought, this is never going to happen. We were so concerned about that little thing. I knew, man, if we don't get this thing rescued, this is going to be a miserable trip. And finally, with all that yelling and crying of that little ibex, the mother came and joined up with his two little brothers or sisters, and they ran off. And the sense of yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 15. It's part of our verse by verse through this New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, get in touch and let us know. One of the quickest and easiest ways is to visit us at realradioactive.org. You'll know right where to point and click. It doesn't have to be a long message, like this one that came in as we were airing our Life in the Bible series. This comes from Sam, and Sam writes, Hi, Pastor Jack. Over the past few days, I have been struggling with evolution versus creation. Last night, I prayed that God would show me the truth, and he did. I turned on the radio and heard your message on being a Christian while on campus. I don't believe it is merely a coincidence that I heard this specific message the day after I asked God for help. Thank you in Christ. And again, that comes from Sam, one of our West Coast listeners. Pay us a visit at our Real Radio website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.